Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to skip the BS. Time for Undisputed. Time for Paul Pierce and Keyshawn Johnson and I to talk wild night in the NBA. Ugh. NFL hip drop controversy, Kirk Cousins tampering investigation, NBA bet fixing investigation, and of course, another head-scratching Jerry Jones quote and another head-scratching non-move by Jerry Jones. But let us begin with LeBron bleeping James. Now listed as doubtful for tonight with an ankle injury. That's why the Los Angeles Lakers are now 8.5-point underdogs at Milwaukee in what was supposed to be tonight's marquee game on TNT. So, Paul Pierce, good morning to you, sir.
What's up?
You said yesterday you would rest LeBron for this game. Keyshawn and I disagreed with it, but that's because the Lakers are back-to-back tomorrow night, also at Memphis. So I am assuming that you love this strategy.
This is an easy call, Skip. All right. I mean, this is a schedule loss. You just coming from home, traveling to Milwaukee, change the time zones. Milwaukee's playing well. You looking at the schedule and like, look, oh, we got Milwaukee, Memphis. We got to get that. Indiana, that's a dogfight.
Yep.
Brooklyn, Toronto, Washington, they should win though. So they looking like they strategically planning this. Hey guys, we could go 4-on-2 in this trip. So why would we waste all our energy on Milwaukee?
Yeah.
When we can say, all right, we got to get Memphis, dogfight Indiana, Brooklyn, Toronto, Washington, we should win. So this is an easy call. This is what teams do when it's a long season. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Mm. So you like, look, let's get these wins we know we can get. So why waste all the energy on Milwaukee? Even if you do beat Milwaukee, and then you got a back-to-back. Say you lose to Memphis by playing everybody. It makes it a wash anyway. So you just got to say, look, schedule loss, we'll take that one. Get Memphis, don't fight Indiana, and beat the rest. 4-2 is a good trip, guys. We go home, and we good.
I guess I could come over to your side and think about it that way, but I also think about it as you're going up on the road to play a top-notch team that you now have to show, okay, we can play against these dogs. Even though you're saying to me, we won't see Milwaukee unless we both get to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, we don't have nothing.
But I still need to be able to see, can AD and LeBron do this against Dame Lillard and Giannis and that crew that's at full strength?
It's only important to do this in the playoffs. Why waste all of that versus Milwaukee?
I would think that you would want to take care of business and then rest some of those dudes against Memphis so you have them ready to go against the Pacers.
No, rest them versus Milwaukee. They're not getting Milwaukee in Milwaukee.
But why would I rest them against Milwaukee?
Because you got to make sure you get Memphis, Brooklyn,
okay,
Toronto, Washington.
But you can get, you don't think they can get Memphis with a
half? It's a back-to-back.
But you
got to start worried about LeBron minutes.
But I'm saying if LeBron and AD, or LeBron or AD, whoever, decide to sit against Memphis, you don't think they're good enough to get Memphis?
They might can't get Memphis, so then they make it a wash anyway. But if they sit Milwaukee and they play Memphis, they for sure get that with them healthy. So,
all right, Paul Pierce, you just said it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah.
I think we just hit sprint stage because there are 11 games left and this team has teetered along all year long until it's driven you and I to craziness every day in the show. Mm-hmm. Okay, so finally they've won 5 out of 7, have the Lakers. Finally, they've actually won 3 in a row and look decent doing it. All of a sudden, as you pointed out yesterday, you get a measuring stick here where you get to go up to Milwaukee and say, hey, okay, look, we're on a little bit of a roll here. Let's see what we got. Mm-hmm. Let's test ourselves. And I don't even care about potential NBA finals. I just care about let's create and build more momentum, because if you could go in there and beat these guys at the top of their game as they start to take off, you could say, hey, we got something going here. Mm-hmm. Then you would have to figure out, with no LeBron for the next night, maybe AD would play. I've seen this team go to Boston with no AD and no LeBron and blow out the Celtics when Austin Reeves turned into Larry Bird, right, scored 32 points. I've seen that happen. So it's not inconceivable they could get both of them. Your logic is standard conservative sort of NBA logic, and I got it. But this isn't a standard conservative Lakers year. It's been a bizarre up and down roller coaster ride of a year. And all of a sudden it's starting to, the compass is pointing north with 11 games to go. And this team still hangs in there in the 9 spot. And now I got to talk about what Phoenix is not doing, because Phoenix is in big trouble right now. Mm-hmm. So if you look up the standings at Phoenix, you're only you're a game and a half back of Phoenix. Two and a half and 3 back of Sacramento and Dallas. Well, Phoenix is catchable because Phoenix has the most hellacious closing sprint of a schedule I have ever. I just don't remember anything like this.
I would think the Lakers would want to get to the 8th spot.
Yeah. But what's realistic with this? Look at it. Right. This 6 games on the road, 6 games out east. What's realistic? 4-2, no matter how you get it, 4-2 is a great trip.
Okay.
That's a great trip.
Yeah.
So okay,
but this is the closing sprint. This is the closing rush where what if you won out? What if you just got on a roll where you went like Houston, Dallas crazy? They're both on fire right now. Okay. Why couldn't you get on fire? Why couldn't you sweep this road trip?
They just beat Milwaukee without LeBron.
Okay.
D'Lo went for 40.
He went for 44.
So there's a possibility that they can beat them.
Okay.
They could. Without LeBron, so they looking like, hey, this is a jump ball right here. If we get this, we get it. We don't, but maybe we can, because we just got him. You know, let's get our role players some confidence. Let Dinwiddie come in there, play. Let D'Lo get back out there.
Dinwiddie blocked Dame's shot to win the game against Milwaukee before.
Austin, Larry Bird, Reeves go out there and ball. And we'll definitely get Memphis.
Okay, I don't like your chances tonight against a Milwaukee team that's still smarting from what you did to them, because and I know they're going to say, watch this.
For Milwaukee, they're at home now. Now you say, Paul, right, you say, well, at this point during the season, you want to rest LeBron and you want to do some of those things. I'll fast forward and get out of the road trip and come back home. You got 3 games in 4 nights. Mm-hmm. You got Cleveland, Minnesota, and Golden State.
Right.
You got to have those games as well. You got to have those games. Do you do when you come up on these back-to-backs against Cleveland, Minnesota, and then one night off, and you got Golden State? Do you rest him again?
No. I think this is a trip. Based on these teams that I'm seeing, they're not going to lose to Brooklyn. You can play LeBron 28 minutes, they should win.
All right.
Toronto, same, 25 minutes. He can get rest on this trip, and they can go 4-2. Now he's rested when they come home, because you can't just keep playing the man 35, 40 minutes going into the playoffs. This is a trip that where they could actually win 4 games, rest LeBron, then come home. Then if you need to play him bigger minutes down the stretch, you can do that. But I think you got to manage his minutes right now coming down the stretch, so he's at least somewhat fresh going into the playoffs.
And that has driven me crazy all year. To your point, we went into this year just like we went into the year before and the year before with them talking about, we're going to manage LeBron's minutes. He's going to be smart about this. He's going to be fresh for the playoff run. Right now, he's averaging 35.2 minutes per game. Guess what that ranks? That's 5th in the NBA. That's just craziness to me. And to your point, you've talked about him being something of a ball hog and more of a stat machine. Well, he's gotten his stats. He went past 40,000. He's building them up. We get all that. And you've accomplished that. But what is that? Do you care about winning? Do you care about a stretch run? Because you're in a position now where you're averaging so many minutes. that you do need to rest before the playoffs.
So Skip just mentioned stretch run, right? Mm-hmm. In the NFL, you want to play your best ball going into the playoffs. That's just what you want to do. You don't want to be teetering along. Is that not the same in the NBA?
But this is different. This is you're coaching LeBron. He's been in deep playoff runs. He understands the moment. Like he knows how to turn it on and turn it off. So you don't need to do that with him.
So you're saying seeding doesn't matter.
Seeding won't matter for the Lakers. They showed that last year. They was able to get to the conference finals. Yeah, they got swept. But the most important thing for the Lakers is just being healthy getting to the playoffs. They don't care about home court.
Okay, so your mind has changed then from last week.
No, there's certain teams you need playing well.
But I'm saying you said that the Lakers wouldn't win a series. They would probably wouldn't be able to beat Golden State. So I'm saying you change your mind now aware the way they've been playing that they can win a series? They can beat a Golden State?
I think based on the matchup. Golden State.
It could be Golden State or Houston.
I don't even know.
Hell, it could be the Suns.
What Golden State is doing lately. They've had some bad losses.
Let's go deeper into the Suns. Okay, so last night they have a game at San Antonio, and there's no Wembanyama. Have to win that game because you're about to go on a death march of a closing schedule. Yeah. And instead, they jack around and mess around. And all of a sudden, I look up and wait a second. The Spurs are ahead by two at home, and I think we have the last two shots. KD and Book both get shots at it to win the game. They each get a three, a fairly open look. This is KD, fairly good look.
That's a shot he can hit.
Yeah, he can definitely hit that. And then they get the offensive rebound, and they kick it back to KD, who kicks it back to Book, who gets a he made that shot. I know he fell down trying to beg for the foul call.
Yeah.
But the point is, they got two pretty good looks, and they missed them. So now they have three great scorers, and they don't have a head to the horseman. They don't have a point guard. I still think they miss Chris Paul. That's just me. Yeah. I'd rather have Chris Paul running the show than Bradley Beal as a third scorer. That's just me. I thought they were better last year. But let's look at this closing schedule. I've just never seen anything quite like this before. Do we have the – I'm going to read it.
They didn't get anything out of Bradley Beal and Grayson Allen.
All right, so here's now look what Phoenix has to deal with. They have to go to Denver, go to Oklahoma City, go to New Orleans. They go home for Cleveland. Ooh. That's no walk in the park. Then Minnesota, then New Orleans at home, then Clippers at home, then at Clippers, then at Sac, and then at Minnesota. And I don't know who'll be resting at that point, but still, it's just a brutal close. I mean, theoretically, you could lose.
Their next 10 games against all playoff teams.
All playoff teams. I mean, you could get on a negative roll. You could just about lose every one of those games.
Y'all know that they're going to do that.
No, but I'm just saying they're all losable kind of games.
Yes, they are. They are losable games.
Yeah, there's not a Brooklyn in there. There's not a Toronto where you say, well, they got that one, right? There's not an Orlando. There's not a Charlotte. That's it. Okay, so the Lakers sit 2.5 games back of them. Could the Lakers catch them? Absolutely.
100%.
Okay, now look, one more slot ahead at only 3 games ahead of the Lakers are the Kings. The Kings own the Lakers, but the Kings don't own themselves because at home, I'm going to give you recent home losses the Kings have suffered because they're a weird team, man, because they can just punish the Lakers. But at home, they have lost within the last month, they lost to the Knicks, the Rockets, the Bulls, Miami, and Detroit. They've lost at home to those teams. And even Miami hadn't been playing great. They've been up and down. So my point is it possible the Kings would lose 2 or 3 that you weren't expecting? And all of a sudden the Lakers would say, we could pass them.
But see, that's why I say what I say, Paul, when you start to think about what Skip is saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Why LeBron, if he could play, should be playing, because these games are so important down the stretch. You would certainly like to have a 6th seed, the 7th seed versus the 9th or the 10th seed.
But so do I play them in back-to-backs this late in the season.
But no, you don't have to play. You can play Milwaukee and rest him against Memphis, what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you're saying rest him versus Memphis, knowing that they can still beat him without LeBron.
I think they can still beat him without LeBron.
You think. But if LeBron plays, you know they can beat him. You know they can beat him, right?
Yeah, but
so
okay.
Let's take the gimme.
Okay, play him a little bit then against Memphis in the back-to-back.
I think he should play.
I think he should play against Milwaukee if he can.
When I look at the Western Conference, this is going to come down to matchups. Like, this is so wide open in the Western Conference. I think, like, based on matchups, like you say, the Lakers can't probably beat the Kings in the 7-game series, but they can probably beat Dallas or Oklahoma City or even Minnesota. So I think down the stretch, you're going to see a lot of teetering down there to where they might take a loss to get a certain matchup.
Maybe.
If they can make it, they could actually push to that seventh slot. And if I'm the Lakers, I'm going to actually try to push to the seventh slot, and that's why I'm going to rest on the front end of this. And then down the stretch, I'm gonna play my guys down the stretch. Because I can see the Lakers.
Seven plays who, though, as it stands right now?
Seven. I'm going to push down the stretch, though. If I'm the Lakers, I'm targeting the seventh spot if I'm the Lakers. Because you get a young, inexperienced team up there at the top. Avoid Denver. You got to try to avoid Denver at all costs. And Sacramento. And that's about it for the Lakers. Everybody else, they could be in a dogfight and eventually win a first-round series.
Okay, but how much would it help to get out of the play-in madness? Just get
free
of it.
Yeah, they want to get out of that. They want to if they can. If they can make a push for it, they should make a push for it.
Okay, so why wouldn't you start tonight? I don't get it. Now, and again, just for the record, LeBron played 38 minutes against Indiana and played the last 10 minutes of the fourth quarter. So it's not like he turned his ankle, although it's chronic. It just plagues him. So is it plaguing him more? Is it possible he's actually hurt, where he just said, I just can't go at Milwaukee? It smells like they're just going to rest him for Milwaukee, which was your first guess yesterday, right?
Yep. I mean, it just makes the most sense when you look at it.
But questionable doesn't mean he's not going to play.
Doubtful. He's doubtful.
Yeah.
Oh, it's doubtful?
Doubtful. So that's pretty doubtful. That's like...
Keyshawn,
that's why
rest.
That spread is 8.5 points, which is ridiculously high.
They only
high.
Have one day rest from Sunday, and then you got to go to Milwaukee, time change, a team that's playing well. Why burn all this energy out in this game when you know Milwaukee's going to beat them? Man, that's money in the bank. You can bet it Milwaukee is getting the Lakers.
Maybe Milwaukee
could potentially go 5-1. Indiana's going to be a dogfight. I'm going to play them all the rest of the game. I don't even have to play them all the rest of the games. Look at this.
The way Indiana
you sit them in
the
Milwaukee. No, don't look, though. You sit them in Milwaukee. You play them in Memphis. Y'all should blow Memphis out. And then you play them in Indiana. You could possibly sit them in the last two games, Toronto and Washington. They should beat them without LeBron. So you should go for it. They can possibly be 5-1, which is a great trip.
So, Paul, you don't want to find out what you're made of tonight at Milwaukee?
We know what they're made of. We know they can beat anybody on any given night. They can lose to anybody.
Which was LeBron's classic line of a month ago.
All right, so we got to figure a number of things in. Health, rest, lowering the minutes, and saving it for down the stretch going into the playoffs.
Okay. So what do you see in the Suns or not see in the Suns as we speak?
They're a hard team to figure out, Skip, because they got two top 10 players in the Western Conference. Would you agree that KD and Booker are two of the top 10 players in the Western Conference?
Yeah. And Bradley just ain't far behind when he plays.
Just in the Western Conference. But to me, it's just like I can't figure them out. They can get hot. They both can score 30, and they lose, and they make a good win. They get a good win, and then they have a bad loss like last night. I think this team is more built for the playoffs when I look at them. When the game slows down and you got two players who are outstanding on offense who can just dominate a game on any given night and you put them in a seven-game series, they'll be tough to bet against because before the season started, I had them going to the finals.
Me too.
Based on their roster, when they got Bradley Beal, everybody was like, look at this is a squad.
Yeah.
So I look at them as a playoff kind of built team. Regular season, they struggle against younger teams, athletic. Teams that's swinging the ball, making extra passes, they don't want to deal with all that in the regular season. They just got to get to the playoffs. When the game slows down, I can see them really playing well. But they've just been hard to figure out in the regular season.
All right. Ditto the Clippers, who lost at home last night to the team that the Lakers had handled the night before, the Indiana Pacers playing back-to-back. The Pacers had to play a bunch of kids last night who didn't even play against the Lakers, and they just punished the Clippers at home, and it wasn't even close. All right, so can you make the case back to me that they have veteran players who just don't even care? They're just waiting to tell us when it starts.
I don't know, because to me, I really put some thought into this, and I'm like, it just seems like the Clippers are taking on James Harden's personality.
They are. I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
I thought that from the start, and I agree with that.
It's up and down. You know how James can be. Yeah. He'll go into a series, and it's been true in Houston, where he'll have a 40-point game, then come back and not play so well, and then play well, and that's what I've seen.
Against your Celtics last year, he scored 45 in game one and 42 in game four, and go look at all the rest of it.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what we've seen from the Clippers.
Yeah.
When he first got there, they stunk. Six-game losing streak. Then right after that, six-game winning streak, they won, like, what, 10 out of the next 12? And then after All-Star break, they're back to where they started. And that's who James has been. And I don't know if – I don't know. I can't put a finger. Ty Lue calls him soft, and Paul George says –
We don't have an identity.
Nope. Like, how do you not have an identity this late in the season? And that's why I'm worried about the Clippers. They're so up and down that I don't know which way to go with them. They can, like just like the Lakers, they can beat anybody or lose to anybody.
I'm trying to frame the Lakers right now by showing you, look what's happened to Clippers, look at the Suns, and it's not over for the Lakers. We struggle with them all. That's what I'm saying. If they catch a little bit of fire and get a little bit of momentum,
The schedule certainly favors the Lakers to pull into a higher seeding.
Yeah. It does.
If they play it right. They got to play it right, though.
They got to play it right.
They can't mess around with these Memphises and Brooklyns and Toronto. They can't just be like showing up just because we know we can beat them. This is why I feel like if he can play, he should play against Milwaukee. He shouldn't sit if he can play. That's just how I feel.
This is strategic.
But I may be wrong. I mean, I may be wrong. Because the last five games of the season, except at Memphis, you got Cleveland, Minnesota, Golden State, and New Orleans. Now, maybe New Orleans is saying, okay, we're done. We don't need to because last game of the season, whatever the case is. But you still got them Clevelands in between and them Golden States that's sitting right there. And the Minnesotas, they want to play too. Mm-hmm. They want to try to have their seeding in place.
Yeah.
It just depends on whether or not we go and beat that team, like LeBron says, lose one night, beat anybody we can the next night, and then lose again. Are we going to be that team and show up that way? If we do, then we will be talking about something different come playoff time.
Yeah. Well, maybe D'Lo goes for 44 tonight at Milwaukee.
Just beat Milwaukee.
Right?
I'm comfortable with sitting LeBron. Yeah. We just beat him without him. Why not?
But Milwaukee lost to Golden State to Sacramento before they lost to the Lakers. That road trip was nasty for them.
It was nasty.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right, Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right, VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to five times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew, ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Atlanta Hawks came from 30 down last night to stun the Celtics by 2 in Atlanta. Celtics hadn't blown a lead this big in 25 years. The Hawks had never in their history come back from 30 down. So, Paul Pierce, you being the Celtics legend you are, scale of 1 to 10, your level of concern over this collapse?
About a 4.
Okay.
About a 4.
Because?
I mean, Skip, they was up 30. They was trying to win by 60. They went 1 for 18. They was trying to blow them out. Why would I be concerned about a team that's won 20 out of 23 games? Like, what's to be concerned about? Yeah, if anything, this is a wake-up call. This is like, all right, look, we got so many games left. We got slapped in the face. It's a tough pill to swallow. Let's get our mind back right. Let's understand the process. Let's not get bored with the process. There's a process to winning a championship, and you got to get through the regular season. They look bored. They smacking teams left and right, Skip. They're on pace to make history, to be one of the teams that's with the margin of victory now is probably about 11, 12. I mean, they're bored. But to me, my message is to them, don't get bored with the process. Finish out the season strong going into the playoffs. But my level of concern is minimum with that.
They wasn't bored when they lost to the Lakers, though. That was a while ago. That wasn't boring them. They lost to the Lakers without LeBron.
You talking about 2 months ago?
Yeah, but that wasn't boredom. I'm just saying, you say they bored, but think about it. They lost without AD, and they lost without LeBron, right? So now they lose to a team again without Trae Young. Okay. And at the same time span, they get popped by the Nuggets and the Cavs.
No, but this is what I'll tell you. This is their tendency last year. They played to the level of their opponent. This year, it's crept in a couple of times. But for the most part, they've done what they're supposed to do. But they've shown some tendency to play to the level. When you don't have a LeBron or an AD out there, you're not up for the game. With no Trae Young out there, and I know you're supposed to be like, yeah, we should take care of business. But sometimes that creeps in.
But how you explain that, though? And then how you explain losing to the Clippers, for instance, losing to the Nuggets, the Bucks, the Pacers, the Thunder, Warriors, Magic, or the Hornets, 76ers, the Timberwolves, those type of teams. How you explain losing to them?
We won 20 out of 23 games, Key. You concerned? If you win, you just coming off a 9-game winning streak, and before that, you know what? They coming off a 10-game winning streak. So what level of concern? Yeah, the only team that's beat them this year, they beat everybody this year except Denver Nuggets. Mm.
So you don't... You have no concerns at all
getting
into the playoffs.
As a matter of fact, I'm happy they lost this game.
Okay.
I'm happy they lost this game. Because now...
I don't think they happy because it looked bad.
Yeah, they should feel bad. And they're going to be like, all right, that's a wake-up call. Because if you rolling, you feeling yourself, you might get vulnerable and just take it easy on somebody and get hit. Look, you know what? They lost to Atlanta. It's time to recharge the batteries and get ready for the playoffs. Mm.
Okay.
That's how I look at it. So this might have been a good loss.
All right. So, Paul, I'm going to say what I said from early this season. I've said it to you. I've said it 100 times to Key. Mm-hmm. I just don't love basketball teams that live and die by the three-point shot. And they are all about the three because they by far lead this league in taking threes. Obviously, they lead in making threes because they take so many threes.
But we love Golden State.
Okay. But
Golden State got 9 championships or something.
Yeah.
Think about it, Paul.
All right,
we've been talking about Tatum and Brown and the Celtics for the last 9 years.
Showed you can win by living and dying by the three, did they not? When nobody
because
thought they could.
You've made the case to me. In a 7-game series, maybe they have a couple off nights, but the other 5 or 4 or whatever it takes, they're going to make a bunch of them because they'll take 50 and make 25. And if you can do that, you're going to win the championship.
Right.
Last night, they didn't win the championship because they took 38, which is under their average, and they made only 11. So it's 28.9%. It's just not good enough. Mm-hmm. And then you still were right there in the fourth quarter. And you go 1 of 6 from three, and wait a second, they go 5 of 7. So you lost by 4 times 3 is 12. So you lost at the three-point line by 12 points in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to lose on the road.
Yeah, they 1 for 18. Yeah. They had a stretch of 1 for 18.
That's 18.
Not going to happen again.
All right.
You said it's not going to happen again. And Skip probably can help me out because it's been a minute. But we also said this about them about a month ago. They same sort of thing happened. We was like, that's not going to happen. Tatum, he will be fine.
Yep.
And here we are again having the same conversation.
No, we're talking about the team, though. Look, they haven't even played with the same starting lineup in this 9-game win streak. Who other team can do that? They've had They haven't had their starting lineup in a 9-game win streak.
That is true. And you know who's missing, and it's a glaring loss. It's your new guy. It's Drew Holiday.
Yeah, he'll be back.
And to me, he is the backbone of your team because he's the one guy I trust in the biggest moments in the biggest games. And it's not to make threes. It's to make defensive plays. It's right. to make the right pass. It's to make the shot. Maybe it's a 2-point shot. But he is the ultimate winner to me because mm-hmm. just look everywhere he's been, good stuff has happened. So it was a great pickup by you guys. And I thought it was going to – it will ultimately be a loss for Milwaukee not to have him and to replace him with Dame because they have lost their defensive identity in Milwaukee. Now they're all offense, and maybe all offense will work for them. But
tell us who started that game.
The immortal Sam Hauser started the game. And the immortal Sam Hauser went 2 of 10 from three.
Who was our backcourt?
But your two kids, who are no longer kids because we keep saying they're kids, your two star kids, they both played, right?
Yeah, they played. But our backcourt, we know who the glue guys are. Yeah. We know who the glue guys are. Derek right. White and Drew Holiday, are they not?
Okay. So – You didn't really have a backcourt last
That's what
night.
I'm saying.
You kind of just started Sam Hauser. You
exactly.
didn't really have a point guard. You had to let the star kids do it. Gold Dust Twins, and I don't know. They both played okay.
Level of concern be high then? Why would it be high then? No Derek White. No Drew Holiday, and we know them is that's probably the best defensive backcourt, probably the steadiest backcourt, probably the highest IQ backcourt in the league.
I'll give you that.
I mean, come on. They would not have allowed that
so
to happen.
Are they the guts of your team?
That's the guts. Definitely. 100%.
All right.
Those two are the glue. You can't tell me Drew Holiday, championship experience, Derek White, we know what he brings. That's the glue. As long as they out there, I'm confident they're going to win.
Hmm. Okay. Can you overcome a game where Jason Tatum has a 2 for 10 from three? Because he is capable of doing that.
Yeah, he's capable of doing that, but if I got these guys out there setting them up, I didn't have Drew Holiday out there setting them up. I didn't have Derek White out there. So now he's taking those threes a little more contested because I'm going to help off of this guy over here. I'm going to help off of him when he's driving the ball. You see how Atlanta packed the paint when we don't have our backcourt shooting backcourt out there. So it's a little easier to kind of defend the drives, and now they're taking a little more contested threes there. So you know, that was a test. Yeah, they should have won. They was up 30. There really is no excuse for that. They should have won. I mean, as good as they've been up 30, there's no excuse for that. But hopefully this is a learning lesson.
Even if ones and Atlanta was shooting threes, they should have still won.
This is a learning lesson, though. And I'll take that at this point in the season. You can take those on the chin. It's like that bad loss.
So you're not worried about Milwaukee at all or Cleveland at all?
I'm not worried about them at all. Okay. At all.
Really?
No, not at all. What have they shown? What has Milwaukee shown throughout the year that's giving you confidence they can beat Boston? What has anybody in the Eastern Conference shown that'll give you confidence that they can push Boston in a series? I'll tell you this, though. There's one team only, the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat, because they've risen from the dead of the play-in game to play Boston and eventually get to the finals, and that's the situation they're in again this year. You got an experienced coach in Spo, who in my eyes is the best coach in the league, and Jimmy Playoff Butler.
Yep.
Well, you say Milwaukee. I just look at a healthy Giannis, a dude that obviously you got Drew Holiday, who's won a championship, but I got two championship winners in Middleton and Giannis sitting over there with that experience. And then I like Dame. I don't care what y'all say about his defense.
I love Dame.
Dame is just, it feels like it's his time to take this next step come playoff time.
I love Dame. But what do you have faith in Middleton? He's been in and out of the lineup this year. And you need a guy like that to take the pressure off of Dame because Dame is going to have to match it with our backcourt, who Drew Holiday, which I remember when Drew was in New Orleans with Rondo.
He did.
Stifled Dame.
He did.
Stifled.
I think they swept him.
Yeah, they got him. They D'd him up. Now, he had success in Boston just recently. That's Dame. Dame is one of the greatest players to ever play the game. But I know in that playoff situation, I'd rather have Drew Holiday and Derek White guard him in a 7-game series than any other guard in the league.
All right, so, Paul, I'm going to sum this up. Back in your day, you and KG and Ray and Doc and Rondo, I don't know if you lost a 30-point lead, but I'm going to bet you didn't because you just weren't you weren't built that way mentally. Like, somebody's going to say, mm-hmm. once it gets down to 10, somebody's going to say, okay, that's enough of that. Mm-hmm. And you have two young superstars. Yep. And for my eye, to my eye, I'm still not sure who's better. Because on some nights, I think Jalen's better than Jason, and you can go back and forth on it. I know Jason's more talented overall, but I go back and forth about who's more valuable. But mm-hmm. one of those two last night needed to step up and say, okay, that's enough. These are the Hawks. They don't have Trae Young. They don't even have, last night, they didn't have that Jalen Johnson who had that dunk over room. Austin Reeves out here, remember we talked about it, so he didn't go last night. He's a nice young player. Mm-hmm. So they're shorthanded too, and you let them do that to you because it's wrong. I don't think the Larry Bird Celtics would have allowed that. They just would have said no. Somebody would have said no. No, that's mm-hmm. enough. That's mm-hmm. the only problem I have with your team, right. But you didn't have your guts and glue guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I maybe mean, they're the ones.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel that's I can agree with that. But I'm sure Sam Cassell said something on the sideline, and that's the reason they brought him over there. I'm sure Coach Mazzulla said something. But you're right, Skip. It does have to come from the players.
But they're not on the floor, though, Paul.
Huh?
They're not on the floor.
They're not on the floor. But you got somebody in that huddle in the timeout saying things like that. It was just one of them days. It was a hiccup. Let's get this out the way before the playoffs. Let's get this out the way before the playoffs because I'd rather it happen now than when we get in the playoffs. And now we got an example of that. So if we get to this point in the playoffs where we up 30, they're going to talk about this situation here.
No, they will.
And so it makes sense that it happens now than in the playoffs.
Was y'all ever up by 30?
Yeah, we won a lot of games by 30. I was dancing in the fourth quarter.
I remember one. You beat the Lakers by...
Skip, stop,
oh, yeah, we beat the Lakers by 50.
Stop.
That's right.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Clippers lost badly at home last night to the Pacers, who were playing back-to-back after battling the Lakers to the wire the night before. That was the Clippers' fifth straight home loss. Their sixth loss in 9 games. They're just 10-12 since returning from their Grammy road trip. So after the game, Ty Lue was asked about the Clippers' identity, and here's what he had to say.
Right now, do we have an identity? I think, yeah, we're soft. That could be an identity, if you want to call it that. Like, we got to be tougher mentally and physically.
So, Paul Pierce, you've said the Clippers lack leadership while Russell Westbrook was hurt. He did return last night. He played pretty well, 14 points and 7 assists in 18 minutes. So how do you view this team now?
I mean, he seemed like one of the few players that cared to make the hustle plays. But I see a team that's probably going to be a first-round exit. I mean, we're at the end of the year, and I'm hearing words like no identity. We're soft. We don't hustle. We don't – like, come on. This is not what you want to hear with 10 games left in the season. I mean, they're just collapsing. They're falling apart at the wrong time.
They are.
This is not the time you want – this is when you want to come together, really know who you are. And I just have no faith in the Clippers at this point with just a few games remaining. They take – they're having some bad losses. No, this is an identity crisis is what I'm seeing. And so I'm not – and the coach calling you soft. That's not what I want to hear. Like, I can't take those words at this stage being called soft. So I really see the Clippers just maybe start making vacation plans because the way it is right now, they'll be one and done in the playoffs.
They can't turn on the switch?
This late in the season, you don't know who you are.
But if LeBron can turn on the switch, why can't Kawhi turn on the switch?
If you don't know who you are, I've never heard a LeBron team say, we don't have an identity. I've never heard a LeBron team say, we're soft. Those are strong words for a team with only 10, 11 games to go.
Those words can't trickle into that locker room.
I'm not sure how this team is built. I mean, they plan an ebb and flow. They're moody. They're up one day, they're having fun. James is contesting his own teammate's shot, and then the next day, you know, they lose and then they lose. I mean, I don't know who this team is right now.
Yeah, First of all, I'm not a Clipper fan, so
aren't you having some fun with this?
No, not really, because I feel bad for the four guys that I know and I like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is Paul George, obviously, and Kawhi and James Harden and Westbrook. I want to see them somehow get a championship, but I don't really want to see them get one because they don't, you know, LA Clippers, they don't deserve one. Those guys deserve it. Mm. And, you know, when I go to looking at it, and I know a lot of people say, well, this is the James Harden syndrome. This is a James Harden syndrome. See, take a look. Check the box. This is what happened in Houston. This is what happened in Brooklyn. Oh, my God. 76ers.
Paul brought it up earlier.
I mean.
Yeah.
It's like they're melting down right before our eyes at the end of the season. This is where you don't need this. This
but
is where
he was playing good a month and a half ago, right? Yeah. He was playing pretty damn good basketball. I think they could get back to that. They just got to figure out what their problems are. When you lose to an Indiana Pacers team, and I think the night before,
Philadelphia with no Embiid.
76ers with no Embiid. You know, it's just like, what do you think, or are you settled in being in the fifth spot? Or are you happy being sitting at five? And like, oh, okay, we just going to hit the button
when the
playoffs come.
That ain't, they not, you got to be, you're not good enough to hit the button. This is not a team that's been to the finals. This is not a team that's won the championship. A team that I'm seeing hit the button right now is Denver.
Mm.
Like, they're playing the best basketball in the league, it seems like, because they got championship experience. They know how to get to the next level. This is not a Clipper team that can have these type of lulls at this stage in the season and say, oh, we'll pick it up in the playoffs.
Yep.
We'll be better. You know, things will turn around. No, they got to do it now. They got to have signature wins now. They can't be losing to teams at home or teams that are playoff bound at this stage, especially at home.
It was a back-to-back for Indy, too, huh?
Well, you watched them against the Lakers, and they fought their butts off. You know, like they left a lot out on that floor and came right back the next night.
They should have been tired, and they in L.A.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
right.
Bingo.
And they kicked it.
And you know they hung out at the game.
Went out, and they said, oh, we got the Clippers tonight. We got this.
So I love Ty Lue, and I can make a case he's as good as there is coaching basketball. But to your point, Keyshawn Johnson, you always say, well, he can't play. Well, he can't. He can only do so much. He can scream and yell behind closed doors. He's not a screamer and yeller on the bench, but I'm sure he has raised his voice to them behind closed doors. So he was angry last night in his postgame, and I loved it because he should have been angry because he sees the handwriting on the locker room wall. They are falling apart right before your very eyes, and he seems a little bit lost on how to fix it on the fly. So another quote from him. Remember, they went 26-5 in one stretch before they left on their road trip. 26-5, and we're in here talking about they could challenge Denver. You know, like they look like they could be the best team. So here's Ty Lue after the game. Another quote. He said, "When we were 26-5, we had great identity. So you can't pick and choose when you want to lead." Interesting that he used that word. You can't pick and choose when you want to have an identity. You can't pick and choose when you want to do things the right way. So he's saying, I don't know what was going on there, but somebody was leading us. And the leader of the team is Kawhi Leonard. And he's a quiet leader. He does it by example. His body, I know Kawhi. I know what his body language looks like. And I watched a whole bunch of that game last night until it was over before it got to the fourth quarter. Kawhi didn't look like he was that interested in playing that basketball game. And when he's like that, his teammates feel it and see it, and there's no contagious factor because it's contagious bad for them. Because for some reason, he's not engaged in what they're doing right now because I think he sees them falling apart, and he does not love that. But he's not going to scream and yell about it because that's not his way. So you talked about how Russ is a leader off the bench. Now, it's hard for me to see Russ as a leader, but you're just talking about his energy leads the team because Absolutely. It ignites, and I get that.
Russ and, was and out it, there balling last
he
night.
He was. No.
With some sort of brace on his wrist.
He did. He got a tech for dunking on Halliburton, and he screamed. He's just screaming at the fan. You know, he's just like screaming to himself, and they gave him a tech for it. But the point was, yeah, he lifts their second unit, their shock troops, because he comes in and the whole RPM of the game changes when he hits the floor. But it didn't help last night because nobody else seemed that into it. And everybody's numbers look okay. Everybody got their numbers. But the Pacers are just readier to play right from the start.
Yeah, Siakam was out there.
Hey.
He was looking like...
Yeah.
Giannis or somebody.
You know what? Siakam outplayed Kawhi and Paul George, even though their numbers look okay. But to your eye, if you watch the game, Siakam was the best forward on the floor, whatever you want to call those guys, small forwards or whatever they are. He was the best player on the floor last night. And that's why Indiana.
I mean, look at this. This is a 4-on-1 break. I just saw a 4-on-1 break. You don't see that a lot in the NBA. They just look slow. I mean, their star players are 32 and up. I said this earlier. They can't get back on defense. And maybe they can do something in the playoffs when I'm saying this for a number of teams in the West. Maybe when the game slows down, they can make a difference. But like right now, they're getting run off the court by these younger teams. Philly, I was at the game in Philly, and the young guards just drive the ball down the middle, find open guys, or just lay it up with no resistance. And we saw that last night. Siakam goes down the middle and just dunks the ball whenever he just wanted to. I mean, he looked like the best player in the league.
He went down the middle. He did. Who was that? They did exactly what you said. Just stay out the way.
Just get out the way.
Yeah, he put his elbow in, kind of got out the way.
And the only one who seemed like they had some life or who played with some intensity was Westbrook.
Yeah.
But it just has to be more infectious to the other guys. You know, you have to look and say, look, this guy, he cares. He wants to win. But it has to be reciprocated through the whole team. And it's just not there right now. I don't know.
When Kawhi first shocked the world and signed with the Clippers instead of the Lakers, everybody's convinced. You remember this? Everybody thought he was going to go with LeBron. And at the last second, he pulled the rug out from under the Lakers and went to the stepchildren, right? And that first year of Kawhi Clippers, what was their identity? It was on the defensive end because he and Paul George could flat out lock down people because in their heyday, when they were younger players, God, they could steal the ball. They could deflect. They were hard to get past. And they don't have any defensive identity anymore.
You know what makes me wonder, too? You just said an interesting thing that, you know, Kawhi re-signed. Paul George hasn't re-signed yet. James Harden hasn't signed an extension yet. You think that can factor into the play? Because you see as a player, you like, oh, we're the same age or we're lined up to probably retire together.
Yeah.
You know, okay, you get Kawhi an extension. Well, yep. It's probably my turn to get an extension. And then, you know, James Harden, you know, I took the trade to come here with the idea I'm probably going to end my career here. And they haven't signed extensions. So, you know, some of that could be creeping into their head. Like, you know, that's an effect.
James always wasting.
I mean, we see that with Klay Thompson right now. He didn't get his extension. Draymond did. And it's something that bothered him. It's something, and he was kind of open about
point.
You know, that's something that could be happening with the, I don't know. I'm just saying, though.
Yeah. All right. So your gut feeling is one and done.
I think just the way they're playing, I don't see them getting out the first round. They got to go to New Orleans, it looks like, as of today. And they can potentially slide even more if they have to end up going to playing a young team, which it seems like they're vulnerable against these young, quick teams like OKC or Minnesota.
Yeah.
I don't see them getting out the first round.
So I also read a quote from James Harden after the game. I'm not a big fan. You like him, but I think you like him more off the court than maybe on the court.
I like him on both. That's just me.
James Harden said after last night, we got to find our identity. Teams are scoring easy on us, makes it difficult to score offensively. And I'm like, well, I don't really want to hear that from James, who doesn't play a lot of defense himself and does not set a tone on that end. And I've been on the record with this from day one. I just don't think you can win big with James running your show. I just don't. I don't think he's that guy. When it's,
but he's not running the show.
No, he is. No, he's the orchestrator.
He's not running the show. No. That team goes through Kawhi, then PG, then he's the third guy.
No. I mean, he initiates everything.
I mean, the ball is in his hand.
Yeah, he dribbles the ball up
the floor. But he's giving it up. He ain't holding it like he was in Houston or nothing like that.
Not at the same magnitude, but he's initiating the offense. He calls his number when he wants to run. I mean, the best play for James to be effective is the high pick and roll.
Yeah.
And we know if Kawhi and Paul George and Russ is out there, they're watching James run a high pick and roll, and to him, watching him barrel down the lane and make one pass for a shot, that these guys are just going to be kind of standing around, you know, watching him do his thing in the pick and roll. Instead of getting into a flow, this team needs to play a certain type of offense to where it's a flow, where there's dribble handoffs, to where there's cuts, there's back doors, there's slashing, to where these guys can get the ball in position to where they can score, not – watching James Harden run pick and rolls, especially
with Zubats.
Zubat. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's not the offense they ran pre-James Harden.
Yeah. I don't know, Kia. I think you're going to have a happy spring here because I think the Clippers are going home quickly.
I think they go home. That's all right.